If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're listening to Digging Deeper with D.D. Denslow on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to back to TNT Radio. I was just for the last hour talking with John Mappin. We discussed immigration, and then we really focused on the vaccine injury issue, the excess deaths, the surprising, not surprising to some, drop in fertility and newborns that most Western countries are experiencing. So I hope you enjoyed that chat. I'm on the Zoom in about 6 minutes with Ollie Colony. You may be able to hear him coughing and puffing and blowing in the background because we're on the same channel. A couple of stories. Bird flu. Yeah, everyone, bird flu. Yeah, they went around and they started killing all the chickens. Yeah, bird flu now spills over. Yes, it's one of these virus spillages in which it otters and foxes in the UK, the largest ever outbreak of bird flu, is spilling over into mammals, including otters and foxes in the UK. Figures released to the bastion of all truth, the BBC, show the virus has led to the death of about 208 million birds around the world. At least 200 of these cases have now been recorded in mammals. So they're trying to expand the carriers of bird flu, maybe because they're running out of birds to scare us with because they keep killing them all. What else is going on? British Gas. British Gas admits agents break into struggling customers' homes. The boss of the British Gas owner, Centrica, has said he is horrified that debt collectors have broken into vulnerable customers' homes to fit energy meters. The debt agents working for British Gas expressed excitement at putting meters in the homes of people who had fallen behind on energy bills. This happened when people were acting on behalf of British Gas. There is nothing that we can be said to excuse it, said Chris O'Shea. The move follows an undercover investigation by The Times, whose reporter went with agents working for Avato Financial Solutions. So keep an eye out for them. They want to stick a smart meter in your home, a company used by British Gas to pursue debts to the home of a single father of three children. After establishing the property was unoccupied, the reporter observed the agents work with a locksmith to force their way in and install a prepayment meter. It reported that the locksmith said, "This is the exciting bit. I love this bit." So, you don't pay your bills. You're struggling because they keep putting the price of energy up as the price of oil and gas and coal is falling around the world. In fact, oil is roughly the same price as it was 12 months ago, but gas prices and energy costs are double, triple for some households. I've heard some terrifying stories of price increases. If you can't pay it, what they'll do, because they can't cut you off, yeah? They're not legally allowed to cut you off. But what they can do is they can try and find a way into your home, stick a smart meter in your home, and then when that ticks past the zero mark and there's no more funds on your smart meter, your electricity gets turned off, yeah, automatically. So they're not cutting you off legally. They're not physically taking that action to cut you off from your energy. It's because it will be considered your own fault because you've got a smart meter and there is no money on that smart meter to fulfill the requirements of your energy. And then what the energy firms do, or what the government does, is they make arrangements to stick lots of money onto your smart meter free. Yeah, this is this whole, you know, the digital world that we're going into, social credit, CBDCs, digital ID. It's all a very sort of similar agenda. They stick money on your smart meter and you go, "Look, I got 150 quid this week. That's amazing." Guess who gets that money? The energy firms, the same firms like Shell that are recording record-breaking profits of $40 billion in the last 12 months. And I think if you're making $40 billion profit every year, then maybe if your customers are suffering and people are breaking into your homes to stick a meter in so that free money can be put on to go to Shell, maybe they should be saying, hey, maybe we should be lowering our prices. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but that's how I see the world. I believe in a world of fairness. And right now, there certainly is very limited amounts of that going around. If you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, and iHeart. Now, there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Making sense of the stories.
They break down the big story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. It's me, DD Denzel, on Digging Deeper. And I'm here with a returning guest, a guy who emailed me once and said, Darren, I quite like your show. I think I'd like to come on. And I thought, oh, he's just a regular dude. Just wants to come on and have a chat. Why not? We need regular people on. And actually, he's not regular. He actually worked for the BBC for his sins. Ollie, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Darren, I'm good. Thank you very much. Good to be back. And I am a regular guy, man. And so are you. And that's what's important about shows like this.
Yeah, I wasn't putting you down by saying that you're a regular guy. I actually class myself officially as a nobody. And I believe that that's why... That gives weight to my voice, yeah, because I am actually a nobody who has an opportunity to speak out. And I'm sure that when you walk around on a day-to-day business, you just think to yourself, I'm just a nobody. Would there be some truth in that?
Well, I don't think we are nobodies. I mean, I think that people are really, really special. And we've all got so much to offer. And what we're doing is something really, really important, being basically concerned citizens. And yeah, I mean, we're lucky enough in whatever capacity to be able to use a few skills to hope get the message out there, and God bless it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm underplaying my own
self-worth.
I'm doing that in a deliberate way to generate a conversation with you. And actually more and more people are speaking out now. And all of them are coming on. Anyone who comes on here as a guest on TNT is speaking out. We're seeing more and more people speak out. Are you experiencing that where you are, Ollie? And I'll take it you're in Spain. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I am. I'm in Valencia in Spain, and I've been here about 17 years. Before that, I was living in London for a good 10 years, and I was born and bred in the home counties, and I'm 53 in total. And where I am, still nothing like enough people are really, really waking up to what's really going on. As soon as you go and leave, if you like, the Twitter sphere and our, if you like, herded community of truthers or, you know, concerned folks, whatever, you begin to see just how lacking folks are with regards to the bigger picture. And words like World Economic Forum just don't register. You know, you see this kind of their eyes have a glaze come over them and what have you. And you mentioned things like the Great Reset, and they you've basically got to start from the beginning pretty much. And the fact that that's still the case, despite the fact that the facts have been out there for years, all that we've had in the last 3 years really is confirmation. And the fact that there's so much ignorance and a lot of willful ignorance as well, in fairness, is highly worrying. And that is the biggest concern I have personally, because if we're going to say no to some of this stuff going on, this Great Reset stuff, this Agenda 2030 stuff, the kind of things that we're seeing happening, being rolled out in Oxford, for example, with these traffic zones now, really is like Hunger Games light at the moment, being rolled out. And unless people really, really see why this is happening and what the bigger picture is, I'm not sure that they are going to get on the streets and demand that those councillors stand down because they're doing things that are just non-mandated.
So going on to that, so what's the media like then in Spain? Because here in the UK, there seems to be a very slight bit of breakthrough. Now, I don't know if that's just trying to get ahead and control the narrative with regards to, say, vaccines and excess death and the harms of lockdown. What's it like in Spain?
Well, the media is very similar in terms of their output. It is either distraction or outright lies. So, for example, if you go and you watch some of the headline news shows in the evening, sort of 9 o'clock at night, they're all on at the same time. And they are all basically parroting the official narrative. And so, for example, pretty big thing at the moment, are we going to end up in a nuclear war? There, none of them balancing what were the reasons for war. None of them are talking about the Minsk agreements, for example. Uh-huh. None of them. And so, I mean, for example, back in the UK, I mean, for example, I had a chat with my mum earlier, and something she said about Putin being a bit like Hitler, et cetera, et cetera. Completely the BBC narrative, the MSM narrative. And I said to her, we hadn't spoken for a while, yeah, sort of a bit of a family tiff, whatever. But so it was interesting to gauge what she had to say. And I did say to her that there was this agreement, all these series of agreements in place that basically said NATO would not be building up armaments in Putin's backyard. And they reneged on that. And he was kind of like forced into a bit of a situation. So who started it? Well, it's not like just Putin started it. In fact, I'd say it's the opposite. My point being that the MSM is lying there and is lying here. Exactly the same. The narrative is basically the same, Darren. And the distraction, again, is basically the same. All the rags and the news shows are littered with stuff that just does not matter.
Yeah, I mean, you see that with the stories about celebrity or, yeah. You know, we had in the UK, Rishi Sunak wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Don't worry about his seatbelt. He's got billions of pounds stuck in Moderna and he wants to get you on a digital ID and a digital currency. And, you know, and those stories continue to come out. They continue to flood the airwaves. And because of these distractions, it's very, very difficult for people like me and you or people who are speaking out in alternative media to speak out about the truth. It's very, very difficult to get that, to cut through all the noise. How do we do that with regards to, say, the BBC or CNN or whoever the mainstream media is in Spain? How do we cut through that noise and increase the loudness of our voice?
Blimey. It really is like hitting your head against a brick wall because we are so up against it. As we know that Twitter has improved considerably, but I don't know about you. I still don't trust the algorithm in terms of are we reaching out beyond the choir? I don't think we are over the aisle. And so it's really, really difficult. All we can do individually is to keep talking, to be as informed as we possibly can be, to learn and share. And that is really, really all we can do. But we do ultimately need people out on the streets in front of, for example, the council officers or the constituency offices demanding that these people stand down because they are betraying their vows as public servants. And the Nuremberg Code, for example, I know in your last hour you're talking about the vax and obviously the quacks, how concerning it is. The number of people that have contravened the Nuremberg Code by not allowing or encouraging or giving informed consent, which is massive. And Matt Letizier, for example, was in London a couple of weeks ago blowing about that. Didn't get any coverage whatsoever for that protest in London again. So us, if you like, the grassroots in the truth of community as such, we just got to keep talking. And that is all we can do. But hopefully people are beginning to see more and more and more these various things affecting them. There is a trickle effect going into the mainstream media ever so slowly. You are seeing stories about the adverse effects now, just nothing like as much as needs to be the case. It should be the top story. It's way down the running order, buried, when it's there at all. But at least there is something. We just need to... I do wonder if there isn't a bit of the dam having been pricked, as it were. We need the damn thing to burst.
Yeah, we need the story to flood across the public's mind, so to speak. It needs to be a massive tidal wave of information to really sort of wake and shake and scare and shock people into waking up to break that hypnotism that I was just talking about in the last hour with John. Because you're right, I think they might have gone, we've got some control valves in this dam, and we're just going to open up a little bit and let some of that pressure out. Some of that water trickle away. People may notice, but the average person won't know that the dam was breaking because we've let some of the water out. Do you think that's what they're doing at the moment? Just trying to take the peat off.
It's very, very curious. I do wonder, actually, if we're not seeing a bit of a psyop going on with some of this. I don't know what to believe with regard to so many different things in individual instances, for example. And I'll give you a good example. The Veritas interview with the executive from Pfizer in that bar, which was hilarious, was amazing and revelationary. But on the other hand, is that for real? I'm not. Veritas, I've always had a lot of time for. It's just, it seems so fantastical for something like that to come out. The media hasn't, as we know, they haven't covered it at all, the mainstream media, all over everywhere else. Thank goodness for Musk. But then again, I do wonder, now, okay, I'll give you a theory. The coronavirus whole deal was all about the lockdown, i.e. it was all about ruining economies around the world as one major component of being able to roll in the Great Reset. A secondary component, for example, being what's going on in Ukraine and this courting a bloody great big war. If they really, really can throw humanity off its so unstable, then they can turn around and say, look, okay, we've got a bit of a problem here, but we can offer you a solution, Ordoab Kiev. And I don't know. Maybe that's wrong, but I do personally think that the main damage has, in any case, been done from the point of view of looking at their side of it and what they wanted to do, achieve with COVID-19, i.e. decimate economies around the world, that they can pull the plug relatively easy and then bring in stuff like the universal basic income. And all the rest of it. They shove in the climate warming and all the blah, blah, blah. And they confuse everybody with all the woke crap, et cetera, et cetera. Dehumanize, cow. But I do wonder if now they don't really care particularly too much, as long as the finger isn't pointed at them, i.e. regarding the Nuremberg Code too much, then maybe they can get away with saying, yeah, it was a calamity, what's happened over the last 3 years, as it turns out, but we did the best we could. Yeah. And, you know, and there you go on from there. But I think the damage has been done, Darren, in terms of the main objective.
I do. And one of the other objectives was obviously the vaccine rollout. And maybe what we're seeing now is like a reverse of the PSYOP. And I'm going to go on to that with Twitter after this break on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Bruce de Torres is talking about on World Stage.
Fascinating, this former actor taking it personally when our representatives are proven to lie to us, because I was a professional liar. I was an actor, but I was honest. You paid your money, you sat in the audience, and you knew I was faking and fooling with whatever we were doing on stage. We tried to make it look and sound and feel really, really real, but we earned your money because you knew that we were fooling and pretending, and I really resent those who lie. And also I'm fascinated by what it takes to create an illusion. And the Pentagon, back in, I think, 2017, admitted that they can't account for $21 trillion since 1998. With a $21 trillion budget, you can create, give, and show and convince the world absolutely anything that you want.
World Stage and Bruce de Torres on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk. with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Government today.
They're not human. They ought to be destroyed.
It's like all the children from the Village of the Damned grew up and went into politics.
You can't stop us, you know.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
That's exactly what it looks like. I looked at this council meeting the other day. It looked like the Village of the Damned. There's some of the strangest people you can imagine. They're in positions of power. That's, you know, because their lives, a lot of these people who are politicians, especially at local level, they have nothing going for them. They have nothing going for them. So they get into politics because nobody else wants to. And they get elected. And then the power goes to their head. And I think that that is part of the problem. Right. I was just here. It's me, Dee Dee Denzo. I'm talking to Ollie Connolly. And we were just talking about, you know, the psyop and the hypnotism, how some people haven't woken up, why haven't they woken up? What I have noticed on Twitter, Ollie, is that there's a lot of, all of a sudden, these accounts, blue ticks, I've got blue ticks, it doesn't really mean anything these days, but very prominent, pushing the narrative that we would want pushed, but it does seem unusual. And it reminded me of the fact that in the original days of the pandemic, there was a lot of fake accounts on Twitter with blue ticks who were doctors who were pushing the COVID narrative. I'm concerned we're seeing the opposite to those doctors pushing the opposite. And there may be a sinister or devious reason, part of a psyop, while they're doing that. Now, I don't know if you've experienced that yourself on Twitter. Twitter's definitely been playing up recently. It's not how it was. Do you agree?
My Twitter's gone round the twist. Oh, sorry. Oh, blimey. Sorry, I had it muted. My Twitter's gone round the twist. It's very odd. Good to see you back on there, Darren. The algorithm is strange because I'm getting all of these very woke individuals complaining that somebody is using the keyword obese. And I sent Elon, who will never read it, probably, if he's probably got more important things to do anyway, of saying, what on earth is this woke tard doing on my timeline? We're about to go to war with Putin, or just did with that tank deal. And yeah, I'm getting somebody who's concerned about the world of obese being used. And it's just nuts, isn't it? But whether or not all of that sort of stuff is just being thrown into the hat to confuse the hell out of us, which is what I suspect is the deal with all of that and the LBG QWERTY bollocks. No disrespect to anybody for whatever you are. I just don't care. And I don't think you should care about me either, by the way. We are being led a merry dance by so many Pied Pipers. And I've seen that over on all of the social networks. For example, when Boris got in, yeah, and all these folks going, Chichillion, you know, it's going to turn everything around and we're going to get Brexit, blah, blah. But guess what? We got none of it. And it turned out that he was turd or whatever. And I know that we're talking about this in the next bit of the show or whatever, but you did ask if what we might talk about Bojo's Ukraine thing. Just mad. I mean, these guys are begging for a nuclear war, begging in the kind of stuff that they're in their tactics. That tank deal, what the hell is that? We're at war with Russia. The entire NATO alliance is at war with Russia. That's the reality. And I mean, I think we have been for months. I think we have been since the start, because we were funding Ukraine, we were assisting one side, et cetera, et cetera. But talk about rubbing Putin's face in it right now. And this is all because NATO wouldn't back down and didn't agree with Putin that Ukraine was one of the world's buffer zones and needed to be treated as such, i.e. you keep off it and I'll keep off it and we'll keep happy.
And, you know, and that's what the Minsk agreement was about. You know, they had, oh, we'll have democratic elections in the Donbass region, Luhansk region, et cetera, the Zaporizhia region, which have happened.
What's
now,
wrong with any of that?
I thought we liked democracy. I thought Churchillian Johnson loved democracy. And what I'm going to do, because this is actually a short section, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read you a couple of headlines that I've got here for you to digest while we have a break, and then we'll come back and discuss why does the West seem determined to have a nuclear war? So here's a couple of headlines for you. Johnson tells, they're all Johnson headlines. Johnson tells the West, give Ukraine planes. What? You know, the former prime minister addresses the Atlantic Council, a very dodgy organization in DC, saying the West must allow Ukraine to finish the job. It's not happening. Ukraine hails brave Boris Johnson by plastering his face across a billboard praising him. Boris Johnson is now claiming Brexit helped to help the UK's support for Ukraine. And then who can forget that Boris had a phone call with Vladimir Putin himself after the conflict had started, saying that Putin threatened him with a missile, which of course the Kremlin have denied. And one final comment here. This is nothing to do with Johnson. Russia is planning a 24th of February offensive. Ukrainian defense ministers says that could be 12 months after the original invasion, and that particular headline come from your ex-employer, the BBC. So when we come back after this very quick break, we're going to be discussing Ukraine war, what's really going on, and why does the West seem determined to provoke and escalate this conflict to a point where every single person on the planet may regret it. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
I've got news for you, baby. I've got news for you, baby.
News.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. US private military group Mozart has been swept up in a damaging scandal, with the group's founder accused of fraud, extortion, and sexual misconduct. An international group of researchers have reenacted the giant tsunami that is believed to have wiped the dinosaurs off the face of the Earth over 60 million years ago. And the United States has reopened its embassy in the Solomon Islands 30 years after closing its doors as it moves to counter China's push into the Pacific.
Silence for thinking differently? Silence for thinking differently. Not here. Silence for asking questions? Not here. Not here. Silence for discussing the other side of the story? Not on TNT Radio. Join the conversation anytime. Search TNT Radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, or Gab. Download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. It's just me, DD Denzel, on Digging Deeper. I'm talking to Ollie Connolly. He's an ex-BBC employee and a concerned citizen, definitely not a nobody. Ollie, I just read out some headlines to you. They're all sort of pro-war. Why do you think the West seems so determined to escalate this conflict in Ukraine? Or what are we seeing with these tank deliveries and these increasingly heavier, more capable, longer distance types of weaponry that we're sending? Are we seeing sort of the last hurrah after 12 months of what I would say is Russians just blowing it all up? Are we seeing the last hurrah? Are we just disarming ourselves? I mean, that could be another, you know, another thread to what's going on.
I don't know. Except that what is going on is that the West is at war with Russia now by supplying these tanks, essentially. And to say, let's give them planes as well. And that's the tanks are relatively moot because Putin has air superiority, as I understand it, so if we now level the scores up in the air, then it's a whole different ball game again. But I just don't see how we are not at war with Russia and therefore potentially with China. I mean, where does this go? Or what might China be tempted to do with Taiwan? And I know a lot of people say that Taiwan actually would be a pretty tough nut to crack for China. But nonetheless, it's just absolutely crazy that you have the President of the United States and that you have the British Prime Minister, that you have Boris, who's, I don't know what he is at the moment, but it sounds as though he's being set up to be the next foreign minister or something for the UK, a senior guy in that government who somebody in the WEF, I guess, or the UN or whatever, they reckon that he is going to have the gravitas to be able to do the Churchillian sell the war bit, which they could be right. But the fact is that this guy is the one that deserves to be blown up. Is the likes of Boris Johnson and all these war hawks, because you know what? It's him and his strange love cronies, or it's us, it seems to me. I mean, at what point is Putin justified in saying, yeah, okay, I blew up that merchant navy vessel that was in Ukrainian waters because, for all I know, it had a tank on it that it was delivering, or something like that. At what point is he justified in killing folks that are not Ukrainian, but that are somehow connected with NATO countries, citizenry or whatever? And I mean, I would have thought he is effectively justified now. Whether or not that flies, where that flies to, that's when it gets scary, huh? Yeah. This, to me, Darren, I feel, is like a slow-mo version in reverse of the Cuban missile crisis. It's kind of like a Cuban missile crisis in slow-mo, in reverse. The difference being that we're the ones that are threatening this time by being on Putin's, in his back garden, and we're not getting out. And we're doing everything, making it completely clear that we're not going to get out. And then you hear rumors from military types in the States who are concerned that the US policy seems to be war, 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 no jaw. Putin has offered jaw, hasn't he? He said, I'll come to the negotiating table. Yep. And Zelensky's been turning him down. And the West has been turning him down. So where is the escape hatch, you know, for the NATO alliance? Or are they really, really prepared to see a nuclear conflagration? It's just astounding.
There's no off-ramp being offered from our side of the table. That's quite clear. Yeah. The European Union, the USA, the UK are all sort of in unison saying the route to peace is supplying more weapons to Ukraine. And I'm not just saying, I'm not going, oh, that's a metaphor for what's happening. No, they're getting up in European Parliament, people like von der Leyen, who are actually explicitly saying just that. Now, that is insane. It's a classic example of inversion. And it does seem like we want to continue to escalate the conflict. Now, you said, would Putin be in his right, or would Russia be in their right to destroy a merchant vessel in the Black Sea that's carrying tanks?
Even far worse.
Yeah, it could be carrying nuclear weapons, couldn't it? For example, it could be anything. Yeah, it doesn't matter. If there is a merchant vessel carrying weaponry or something that could be used to harm motherland Russia with Putin being in his right to destroy it, then let's just flip it around. If there was a merchant navy or a merchant vessel, an unknown vessel of Russian origin approaching the UK, and we don't even know what's in it, how do you think we would respond? How do you think the US would respond if it was coming off their east or west coast? They would take it out. And so, but if Russia does it, bad.
Darren, that sounds like Tonkin Bay, what you just described. That's how Vietnam started.
Uh-huh.
Because, and this was admitted. This was admitted by the guy that was the foreign secretary at the time of state in the US. Decades later admitted that, Tonkin Bay is not a conspiracy theory. It happened. We basically blew up, the US blew up some merchant vessel and then blamed it on the other side and started the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
And you could argue that that could be a stage, that could be a stage to escalate this. Yes. And you could also take the theory further. I mean, would Putin be justified to go for a, for example, a major target with troops or some sort of armament buildups in a place like Poland or in Germany? Well, you know, I mean, we really are in incredible territory now. And I don't know that people, it's like, do you remember what you do? Of course, Iraq, the build up to Iraq.
Of course.
And a whole bunch of us went and marched in London, 2 million or what? The BBC reckoned 1 million, whatever. We do know that off the back of that, Blair ignored all that and went to war with them and killed as many people as marched just that one day in London.
Yep. Millions of people died.
This is way more serious than that in terms of where it can go. Way more. This isn't Iraq. This is Russia. I mean, what are these folks? I'm talking to you, and I have a sense of incredulity, Darren. I just want, what is the deal with the Boris Johnsons of this? Are they so being told you're going to die if you don't carry this through, or like maybe happened when he was hospitalized over COVID?
Yep.
God knows. I don't
or was
know
he getting paid a lot of money? Is it
really
just makes money?
You worry, doesn't it?
Yeah,
because
I mean,
total psychos, but it's one of the two.
I mean, yeah, and maybe they've just been psyoped themselves to death. They psyoped themselves with the things that they're told to say and repeat, and they end up believing their own propaganda. And there is another thing. All my life, I was taught Russia was the bad guy. All my life. It was only up until I was awake until 2017 when I realized that the Russiagate stuff with Trump was a complete lie. It wasn't until I realized that I woke up to what was going on with the Putin narrative and Russia. And actually, they've been building up to this conflict. It's, you know, we said, how long have we been at war? Well, we've been at war with Russia for 12 months. Well, actually, it goes all the way back to 2014 and the coup that took place in Ukraine that was orchestrated by the USA. So we've been, the USA at least, has been, and NATO has been at war with you at least as long as that. So that's before Trump even got into power. I don't know where this is going to end up, but the opportunity for something stupid and minor to happen, like an F-16 jet with American pilots getting shot down over the skies of Ukraine, that could easily just spark something far more serious. And you might see a mushroom cloud above Kiev and the Russians going, we warned you and we warned you and we warned you. Now look what's happened. That is a definite, distinct possibility in the near future. If we don't pull back, threaten Russia land, mainland, and the people there, Putin may feel he has absolutely no other option but to retaliate in a way that we really don't want, and that we don't want, me and you, but the people in power that have pushed him to that point, they may actually want that. They may want to use their nukes. Why have them, as Trump wants?
And one thing that is so frightening, coming back to the MSM reluctance to be honest with the facts, to put it very, very kindly, is with Iraq, at least there was an awareness. People smelt through the nonsense, the lies, the 45 minutes from doom. We had reports, we had some balance in the reports, because we had Hans Blix, the chief weapons inspector, saying that basically the British government was lying. He didn't use those words, but he pretty much said, he certainly said they were wrong to say that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, that it was not correct. He'd been to these sites and inspected them personally. As it transpired, after all that happened in Iraq, they found none, and he was, he was exonerated. But now we don't have any of that balance. We don't have the mainstream media remotely breathing about the Minsk agreements and the real true reasons that this war came about. And as you said, all the way back to the coup in 2014, which the vast majority of people believes was just a regular election. And I think there was sniper fire going on in the main square in Kiev, wasn't there?
People died to kick off
that coup.
People were killed, and it's suspected it was the CIA that fired the shots.
That's right. And now, this time, we just do not have the idea. The sense, the people that buy their rags, whatever, their newspapers, they've got no idea of what really, really is going on. And therefore, it's almost as though, it seems to me, by and large, there is support for this war. And
it's
almost
not as strong as it was.
Irrespective. Well, I hope not, because, I mean, this is so, so damn serious. Up to now, I mean, you see the swathe of Ukrainian flags on Twitter and on Facebook, and it's just crazy. And then if you have some sort of a chat with any of these people about why they've got their flag up there, they haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue about what's really, really going on and what's
been
starting that war off.
They've been told all their life, Russia the enemy, Putin bad, Russia the enemy, communism the enemy. And actually, there is no more propagandized society than the people in the West. And I always thought it was the other way around. I thought it was the Russians who were lunatics and propagandized, and that it was the West that had freedom of thought, freedom of speech, and freedom of association. And as we have found in recent years, and it may well go back a lot longer, we just wasn't aware of it because we didn't have the information infrastructure that we have now with the internet. It may well have always been the case in our society. We just so propagandized, we didn't even know it. I want to stay on the war topic. I know I've got this woke stuff with the UN. We may touch on that on the end because they're more interested in racism than nuclear thermonuclear war that might destroy the whole planet. But I want to talk about China. So stay right with us on TNT Radio.
Deweaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
What is baffling to me is how the meteorological community of the world, knowing what different sea surface temperature profiles can do, the relationship between warm sea surface temperatures in one place and cool in another, and the hemispheric pattern, be it the northern hemisphere or the southern hemisphere, why is it there's not more curiosity about this? Now, I'm looking at the sea surface temperatures right now, and of course, they're considerably warmer than 30 years ago. And I wish I could show you, but it is boiling warm southeast of Africa, southeast of Australia, right around New Zealand. That's got to be record warm water right around New Zealand, southeast of South America. Now, what is causing that type of warm water in those areas? Is it some kind of magic CO2 fairy? And why is the warm water in these areas? Why doesn't the CO2 fairy put it someplace else? These are very, very puzzling questions. I would hope that the meteorological community would take a look at these sea surface temperatures and ask themselves that. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
Scraping together all the news and information you need.
It's engaging.
At the top and bottom of the hour. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back. We are running into 3 p.m. or 5 p.m. as it is in Ukraine. I know that because the guest, the host at 3 p.m. is none other than George Eliasson, who is actually himself based in Donbass. You brought up China. It has just been reported from the U.S. that they are predicting that they will be at war with China in 2 years' time. Ignore that prediction at your peril, because they tend to often tell you exactly what they plan to do, and voila, it tends to happen sometimes. Do you think that China not only are watching what's going on in Ukraine with one eye on Taiwan at the same time, but actually they are treating Russia itself as a proxy for a war between China and the USA? So they've both got their pawns in the game, one being Russia, the other being Ukraine, and that they're both watching to see what happens. And actually, the main event will be the USA versus China, something that I have thought for ever since the trade war started with Trump's time, and then almost certainly after the rumors of COVID being originating from China and a bio lab in China. Do you think that there is that element that Russia is a proxy for China?
I guess the premise of your question relies on whether or not we still live in a bipolar political world. And I don't know the answer to that. And I wonder just how deep are the tentacles of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, where China has a very dominant position in the UN. And so they must at least be somehow influenced with regards to the overall agenda. And much of China's policy making is feted by the West, who, for example, want credit scoring systems in the UK, in Canada. I mean, things that are just so incredibly anathema to the kind of values that we have as a so-called democratic country. The fact that we apparently want a Chinese model of control, of communism, in inverted commas, is remarkable. But that is what the West wants. And so I just wonder how much of what we're seeing in Ukraine actually is just a complete dance. And Putin is no better or worse. And indeed, Xi Jinping or whoever, they're basically all having a laugh. And that they are all on the same side, and that they are going to be rolling out this global government as one big club, as opposed to a global government with maybe China and a few other countries, BRICS, on the side, which in itself would be bipolar, yes. Mm-hmm. But how much that's the case, they're talking with the back channels, and how wide open those back channels are. Like maybe they're, you know, they've got a conference call going in straight to each other's wine cellars, for all we know, as it were. Or maybe they are on different sides, and that we're not seeing quite so much the theater of war.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. Either way, it's very, very dangerous for us. And we have to try to root out what exactly is going on and basically stop it. Just stop this daily erosion of our liberties. And if we can do that, we've got a chance. But otherwise, it's going to go very, very badly one way or the other, be it a bloody great big world war or totalitarianism or one preceding the other. And, you know, totalitarianism, whichever way you like it.
I think it's the latter, that the totalitarianism will precede a major conflict. We've had the Third World War sewn into our consciousness all our lives. Nuclear Armageddon, we've had that sewn into our consciousness, well, at least in my experience, all my life. It's always been there, World War III. And you have to wonder, with the detail and level of planning and the longevity of planning that the people at the elite level, the social engineers, operate on, they may well have planned for a World War III for a very long time. And actually, I listened to somebody from the, apparently, allegedly, I'll stick that in there, a guy who was recorded from the 60s. He was a pediatrician who claimed to work for the Rockefellers. He talked about all the woke stuff, all the tranny stuff, all the science and environmental stuff that was going to be used against the people in the future. And he said that the final move will be a limited nuclear strike, and that will bring in the world order, because the governments of the world will say, whoa, we're using nuclear weapons. I think we've gone too far. Maybe we do need a one world army and a one world government and all these other one world things that they are proposing in order to make sure that nuclear weapons are never, ever used again. And then who has the control of the only nuclear weapons? That one world government. And then we pointed at every city, comply. And you mentioned about the Gulf of Tonkin. The scene has been set for a nuclear false flag.
It could easily just go, hey, look what Putin has done. He's blown up Ukraine. He's blown up Kiev, or he's blown up some small innocuous city somewhere that they can easily pin on Russia. It's so easy for them to do with our propaganda in the West. Everyone turns against Russia. It's all over for Putin. And then their world, one world government gets put into place. So I'm being very tinfoil hat there. However, every word with regards to that conversation I just repeated from this guy who claimed to be from a Rockefeller Institute, I can't remember his name, I've never been able to find it again, supposed to be genuine. It does seem like that we might be in that position now where such an event could be unfurled on the world's public. Just something for us to watch on the TV, Ollie. What do you think?
Yeah, Darren. Absolutely, completely agree with you. And in terms of national governments and how terrible they are, so on the one hand, we're so tempted. We want to get rid of them, those of us that are awake, and increasingly people want to get rid of them, and everybody's sick of them. If we get rid of them, then that actually helps the WEF boys, the globalists, doesn't it? We're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. Uh-huh. They want us to hate our governments. And I think we need to be really, really careful about this, because whilst we may hate our governments, we shouldn't necessarily hate the idea of government, or rather self-governance. We have to be very, very careful here that we do not walk into this trap, which is auto-ab-KO, create the problem, offer the solution, and that solution being, global government. And then we've lost everything. Anybody, for example, that understood what Brexit was about, i.e. personal sovereignty above everything else, personal, personal, individual sovereignty, and then, yes, of course, national sovereignty, all the rest of it, the personal sovereignty relies upon. Basically, for you to have your own liberties, all the things that we care about as... I'm using this in the literal sense of the word, liberal societies. I'm not talking about the politics of it. I'm talking about them using the dictionary here. All of these things that we care about, we've got to be so, so careful that we don't cut off our nose to spite our face, which would be by saying, yeah, God, let's get rid of our national government because they've been serially so bad for decades, which they have. But that's because the people running them there are all bought or bribed or blackmailed into delivering terrible policy. What we need to do is change the system and have a government that is worth having, as opposed to having this terrible draconian totalitarian model that they will, yes, as you say, try absolutely to foist upon us.
And, you said, we all want to rid of our governments. Hey, our governments are doing, in the last few years, have done an amazing job of making them so unwantable that we want rid of our own That's governments. Right. And like you said, every single thing that they do all seems to feed into like one outcome. And that one outcome may be, we may see it this year, or we may see it in the coming years, is that the people will rise up and depose them of themselves of their governments. And, that may well result in a situation where we've got a bit of anarchy in a sense of what people understand anarchy to be, not the true definition of the word, which I actually am a proponent of, small government, small communities, because if we replace our government with another big sort of organization, you've got the human problem, and we'll end up with the same situation that we have with our governments now in terms of corruption and bad policy. I am deeply concerned about the Ukraine situation. I am deeply concerned about the Chinese situation and the threat. I mean, today, America is accusing Russia of pulling out of the latest nuclear agreement. Most of the non-proliferation and nuclear agreements that have been in place to prevent a nuclear war have been watered down, and now with the Russia-America situation, they have pulled out of. America's got all these low-yield tactical weapons. So have Russia now. And we've got this battleground in Ukraine, which is ripe for them to be used. Final predictions then. Do you think that we are going to see a massive escalation of the conflict in Ukraine? Is Russia going to go in full on the 24th? And will that potentially lead to us finally using some nukes? And as a chemist, I want to see one go off in real life, just not on someone's city.
You know, I have to say that the logic suggests that, yeah, we are going to see some kind of a mini, not necessarily a nuclear conflagration, but a major exercise of some kind between the West and Russia. And whether or not there is a little bit of a nuclear component to that, I don't know. But I mean, they, just from the rhetoric, it's hard to see how they're going to change their mind. They, it seems to me that they've made their mind up when they got Germany on board with the tanks deal. Maybe that was all a load of bluff. Maybe Germany was always on board. Maybe Putin has been. We really don't know. But it does look as though they want to have this war, a big, bloody, great big war involving a lot of people.
I think so, too. I think so too. Whether Putin and Xi Jinping or all the BRICS countries are all in it, I don't know. But I think we're going to see a massive war. We're almost going through the same sort of situation back in the 1910s, 1920s, 1930s, where we had a pandemic and we had a war and lots of people died. There was a massive social revolution that happened. I think we're in the same place. They need a war to make that happen. Ollie, thanks for coming on. You've been a fantastic guest, just like you were last time. And I'll almost certainly be asking you to come on again in a few weeks' time, whenever I have my slot. It's been a fantastic conversation. I hope the people, your pleasure, everyone's pleasure. We'll speak to you again soon. And everyone else, George is coming up. We're going to be talking about Ukraine and China and Russia again here on TNT Radio.